Amen. Thank you, Valerie. We are truly blessed indeed to have such glorious music to celebrate such a glorious Savior. Let me invite you to turn with me in the Word of God this evening as we come to Luke chapter 2, and we will read verses 8 through 20. This is God's Word. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd pour out your Spirit on us this evening. We have gathered to adore you, and we do. We love you, for you have given us your Son, and you have displayed the riches of your love, your inestimable love for us, having given your own beloved Son on our behalf. And we come at a late hour such as this to wait upon you, for you are worthy of our adoration and our love and our praise. And we pray that you would remove all things other than that great name and glory of Jesus Christ from our minds and from our hearts, that we might behold him by faith this evening, and you might even, by your Spirit, lead us in true and sincere worship as these angels on that first Christmas sung for your great glory. Would you enable us, O God, to do the same? So knit our hearts with theirs, and knit our hearts with you, as once again you condescend to us, bring to us Jesus, and fill our hearts with the good news, that we might be filled with great joy. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, you've heard this story before many, many times. You know how it goes. Caesar Augustus decreed that there would be a census taken throughout his whole empire. Now, there are a whole number of reasons why an emperor might carry out a census, but there are two that come to my mind that might be good reasons why an emperor would carry out such a census. The first is to show off his own power and his own glory. To say, look how vast, look how large my empire is, so that he might be feared by those around him. Another reason why an emperor might take a census is to know who's there, so as to keep the peace in his empire. But the gospel writer Luke is very, very clever indeed. One of the things he does in these early chapters of Luke is he juxtaposes the decree that is given by an earthly authority, even Caesar Augustus, against the decree that is given from heaven of a much, much greater and more enduring authority. You see, one decree was given so that Caesar might have peace in his land and show off his glory. But the other decree came from the mouth of angels who entered from heaven to earth to declare the glorious decree of God that he would get all of the glory and that he would, through this child, bring about peace on the earth. And so Luke, in a very clever manner, wants to draw our attention to this greater decree that is sung by angels, wherein God receives infinite glory through the giving of his Son, and displays and freely gives peace on the earth. Now, because it's late, I want us to only look at one of the verses in this great passage that you know, and that is the doxology of verse 14, which I've alluded to a number of times already. Zeroing in on this one passage will help us see that God receives the glory. Glory to God in the highest, and we receive the peace, and peace to whom those his favor rests. Now, angels are all over the scriptures, both Old and New Testaments, and they're often seen praising, singing. It's not something new for them. They are continually surrounding the throne of God, giving him the glory of which he is so worthy. They are accustomed to singing God's praises. Their posture is perpetually designed to show forth God's grace, God's power, God's wisdom, God's glory. We capture glimpses of this throughout the Old Testament. I think of Isaiah chapter 6, when they're overcome by the glory and holiness of God, the angels cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And so he is worthy of their glory, worthy of their praise, worthy, therefore, of our praise, and why we have come to adore him tonight, because this Lord who has come in his Son, Jesus Christ, is worth our giving praise, is worth our worship. And as much as angels were accustomed to singing, as much as angels were created for bringing praise to God, the song they sang on this night was the most wonderful, wonder-filled hymn ever sung in glory and ever heard in the ears of human to date. This is the highest hymn of praise, for here they are beholding how God would redeem his creatures, how God would intervene in such a horrific situation that had occurred in his creation since mankind rejected their creator. How would it be that God in his infinite wisdom would one day in his perfect timing bring about his glory on the earth, for very few were glorifying him? And how would he bring about peace on the earth, for there was much hostility everywhere they looked? And here they see in this most awe-inspiring event that God would become flesh. God would dwell on the earth so that God might receive the glory and that the earth might be filled with his peace. You see, at this point, when Mary and Joseph and the shepherds were hearing of these angelic messages and witnessing these glorious songs of Christmas, they were not near as dialed in as the angels were, who were much more informed as to what God was up to. Is that heaven and earth were now meeting in a feeding trough? Is that perfection had come to imperfection to make it perfect? Is that the peace of heaven had come to a hostile world to give and to extend peace. The Holy One of heaven had come to the lowly and sinful ones of earth to make them holy and to bring them to himself. And the only appropriate response to such actions, the only appropriate response to such a decree is worship. And so the angels are seen again worshiping. And as this one angel gives forth the decree from God, you suddenly, out of nowhere, a whole multitude of heavenly hosts, as if they had been waiting from the day they were created for this day to be able to sing this doxology, to be able to give God this particular glory, all came and joined their voices together to give praise that God in space and in time had intervened into our desperate situation by the gift of his Son to redeem us to himself. So the incarnation of Christ, the gift of Christmas, is about the glory of God. God receives great glory in the gift of his Son. Glory for his kindness. Glory for his meekness. Glory for his condescension to us. Glory for his grace. Glory for his favor. Glory for his love. So that the whole earth might one day be filled with this glory of God. Now, I wonder if when you close your eyes to sleep tonight, and I can see some of you have gotten a head start, I wonder if you will be filled with this angelic praise. And might we just pray together that in the midst of a chaotic season, not a silent or peaceful season by any means, at least these days, might we ask the Lord tonight to so fill our hearts with the glory of God's goodness to us that we too would rest in the glory of his great name. So he gets the glory, but we get the peace. The peace that God extends to the earth isn't just a ceasing of hostilities. It's not the ceasing of warfare. It's so much more than that. One Stoic philosopher who lived very, very close to the time of Luke's lifetime wrote these words. He said, "An emperor may give peace from war and land and sea, but he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart, for which man yearns more than even outward peace." Caesar Augustus, in the issuing of his decree, might maintain some peace for a short period of time, but only the decree that God had come, Emmanuel, in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, only in that decree and only in that gift could true and lasting peace be given. Because wars may cease, hostilities may end, your family might, in fact, get along a little better. And yet there is not the kind of peace that God offers, that God extends in his gospel, in this good news of great joy. There is so much more that he extends to us, that peace that comes from knowing now we no longer stand condemned by our Creator. We are no longer judged by our Creator. Some of you, I wondered if you walked in here this evening and wondered to yourself or maybe poked your sibling and said, how is the preacher going to bring judgment down upon us yet again, Christmas Eve, when we're supposed to be happy? But know that God didn't send forth his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, so that we might have peace with God, that we who are sinners, who are rebellious, who rejected him, would now be made one with him as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as Corey read to us earlier from Micah 5, even long ago, this one to come, this Jesus, was promised to be our peace. And if you rest in him, then you have peace with God. no longer alienated from him, no longer condemned by him, no longer pressed down under guilt and shame from him, but set free and given a peace that endures, that no one can take from you, whatever this world of sorrows and sinfulness may throw your way, is that the peace that comes from Christ is a lasting peace. He himself is our peace. He is called the Prince of Peace. And now, as Paul says, we, having been justified by faith in him, we have peace with God. So we sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing a lot in this Advent season, and rightly so, because it gets it spot on. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Now at peace. When you rest your head on your pillow this evening, and when you wake up tomorrow morning, if Christ is yours, and you know he came for you, would you rest in peace as well? Would you know that this peace that you have with him cannot be taken from you, and that this peace endures forever? Now, to conclude, I want us to just notice for a moment those to whom this message, this decree, first is given. To the lowest of low, to the shepherds, to the insignificant, cast aside, forgotten shepherds of Bethlehem, just quietly out in their fields, minding their own business, doing their job. God comes to these lowly men and declares this most glorious hymn of praise. And I want you to notice what is said. For to you is born this day. To you is born this day. Not to Mary and Joseph. Not even to God. And the angels sure know that this baby Jesus was not born for them, because Jesus didn't come to save them. He came to save us. So the all-important piece of whether or not you can fall asleep tonight in peace and with the glory of God ringing in your heart are personal pronouns. Can you say, for unto you, unto me, is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord? If you can, that makes all the difference for you in Christmas and for you every day to know and to sing of the praises of your God who would save someone as low as you are, because you've recognized that you need help. You need a Savior. You need your sin forgiven. You need to be at peace with him, because everything outside and inside seems hostile, twisted, wrong, and broken. But the Christ who enters in, the Christ who comes, of whom the angels sing, has come for you. Would you this night, again, or maybe for the first time, put your faith in this good news and allow it to give you great joy, so that God might get the glory and you might know his peace? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, would you do exactly, precisely what we have just been speaking about? Only you can declutter our hearts. Only you can clarify our thinking. Only you can give new life to our spirits. We pray, O Lord, that you would do this work through your word and by your spirit, that you would so touch us with this gracious and glorious gift of your Son, that our hearts would be uplifted in praise for your glory's sake, that we'd be so overcome with awe that you would come for us, and that you have loved us so much that you would give your only beloved Son, so that we who were once shaking our fist at you, once at enmity with you, now have peace with you. May each one here this night know that lasting peace as we trust in Christ, who has come for us. For this we pray in his name. Amen.